How is everyone doing? Oh, come on, really? How's everyone doing? A little better. Here, right? God is with us. Amen. Well, it is Mother's Day tomorrow, and to that we say Baruch Hashem, praise God, amen. And today we're celebrating Yom Ha'atzma'ut, which is Israeli Independence Day. And we're going to talk about why that's important for us, not only as a Jewish, Messianic Jewish community, but as a believer in the Messiah and a believer in God, why that's important. So stay tuned. Before we do, I just want to thank everyone for your prayers. As you know, I was out of the state. I traveled to the great state of Missouri to take care of some business for the National Jewish Fellowship with the assemblies. And, you know, for a two-day trip, the travel was horrendous. I don't know if you're traveling recently. My goodness. Like four planes and just to get, you know, it's a two-hour flight. It took me 8 hours both ways. But I appreciate your prayers and everything worked out pretty well. So thank you for that. But let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. That's what this is about, right? If we don't hear from God, what are we doing, right? We gather to worship and to have our ears attentive to what he would say to us. So pray after me, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the will to obey your word that I hear today in Yeshua's name. So today we are gathered to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. We are celebrating our mothers and we are celebrating Yom Ha'atzma'ut. God keeps his promises. That's what this is about. God keeps his promises and he is faithful to finish what he starts. Right? He fulfills that which he promises, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. Right? In the Brit Chadashah, it says, he who began a good work in you, right, will bring it to completion. For the Israelites and for Jewish people, God said that he would send a Messiah. Right? It didn't happen overnight, but God was faithful to send Mashiach at the proper time and redeem us from our sins. Amen? Like Rabbi Carroll said last week, God is the original and ultimate promise keeper. So that's why when you're encouraged to read the promises that are found in the scriptures, why is that powerful and encouraging? Because God is faithful to fulfill his promises. He said he watches over his word to fulfill it. That he makes sure that he will fulfill everything he's spoken. Amen? So I want to encourage you in that today. God is a covenant-keeping God. That may or may not mean something to you, but it is certainly something that God is very, very serious about. In God's economy, it means that he will absolutely do what he promised to do for his covenant people. And that's why we rejoice in a day like today, Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Why? Because God said that our Jewish people would have a homeland. Just what we read out of Amos. And it's true today. And guess what? It's true in our time. 100 years ago, it wasn't true. Think about that. In our time, God brought this to fulfillment. After thousands of years. So if you think you're waiting a long time, relax. Okay? God is faithful to do what he says. You know, if you ever wonder, what's God waiting for? He's waiting for men. He's waiting for humans to cooperate with him. He's putting the pieces together, but it says God searches right to and fro the earth to see whose hearts are wholly committed to him. And unfortunately, he doesn't find an overabundance, right? So he waits for men to cooperate with his will and his way. The prophet, and we're going to read in a second from Yeshayahu, Isaiah the prophet. The prophet Isaiah speaks to this truth. And he also speaks to God's character. And his character is to always fulfill his promise that he made toward us. However, it is imperative that we hear, say Shema. Now we say it every week in context of Hear, O Israel, right? The Lord our God, the Lord is one, right? It is the Jewish people's anthem call. But what is it a call to do? Simply recite that phrase? No. It is a call to hear. So, hear this today. And this passage, which is found in Isaiah chapter 66, I would encourage you to read the whole chapter, but we're only going to read for our purposes today, verses 5 down through verse 11. And it starts off with, hear the word of Adonai. Hear the word of Adonai, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you and reject you because of my name have said, let Adonai be glorified so we can see your joy. But they will be put to shame. That uproar in the city, that sound from the temple is the sound of Adonai repaying his foes what they deserve. Verse 7. Before going into labor, she gave birth. Before her pains came, she delivered a male child. Who ever heard of such a thing? Or has ever seen such things? Is a country born in one day? Selah. Is a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Sion went into labor, she brought forth her children. Would I let the baby break through and not be born? Asks Adonai. Would I, who causes birth, shut the womb? Asks your God. Rejoice with Yerushalayim. Be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice, rejoice with her, all of you who mourn for her, so that you nurse and are satisfied by her comforting breast, drinking deeply and delighting in the overflow of her glory. Wow. So, three things God, he says many things, but three things I'm going to emphasize that he speaks to us out of this passage of Scripture. One is that God wants us to hear his word. Like I said, we say the Shema every week, Hear, O Israel. In modern messianism, often is focused on reading and studying Scripture. That's the emphasis, about reading and studying. But the Tanakh is more focused on people hearing the word of the Lord, right? Hearing what God is saying. God wants us to hear his message. I picture the God of the universe speaking, and human beings stand and attempt to speak over him. Right? God is speaking. God is speaking. Not your next door neighbor, not the little God of the universe is speaking. And often, as humans, we speak over God. Almost as if to say, God, not now. But God is trying to get our attention. For whose benefit? For God's? No, for our benefit. And he tells us, he pleads with us, hear, O my people. So, don't be guilty about talking over the voice of God, but listen to what God is saying. When you read the scripture, listen to that still small voice speaking to your heart. What is God speaking to you? Well, in this passage, God is starting off by saying, hear me and hear the word that I'm about to say. Hearing is thoroughly biblical. Many, many times in scriptures, around 100 times, In the Tanakh, we hear phrases like, Hear, O Israel, hear the word of the Lord. In the Brit Chadasha, it says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying. The exhortation is consistent. Hear what God is saying. Now, if I were to ask you, any given day, what is God saying to you? Would you have an answer for me? What is God speaking to you? I would venture to say this, God's always speaking. But are we listening? That's the important part. So have an ear to hear. It's thoroughly biblical. Secondly, it accords with the orality of the biblical context. So it is only in modern times that everyone has access to the scriptures. In ancient times, they would come to a gathering place, a community place, and they would hear the word spoken. And they would listen carefully to what was being said. Now we gather and people fall asleep when the word is being spoken. And we have an overabundance of the word and we go and we read the word. But God says, I want you to hear what I am saying. Amen? Thirdly, hearing is relational, implying the existence of a person who is speaking, right? And a community that is listening, right? God is speaking, but that's only relevant if there's someone listening, right? If God is speaking, he could be speaking into the void of space. There's no one there listening. Right? So what God is saying is only relevant if there is a listening community. A people who are actually hearing his words. And so that's why gathering together and listening to the words of God spoken by his servants is vitally important. Fourthly, it denotes a faithful adherence to the word, since in Scripture, to hear means to obey. It doesn't just mean to hear it, right? It means to hear what he's saying and now obey what he's saying. Why? Because God wants you to succeed in all your ways, right? So God has given us his words to guide us, to instruct us, to inform us, so we know how to live our lives. So we know the pitfalls to avoid. Amen? Hear this. The hearing process is not complete until there is compliance with that which is spoken. You hear that? It's not complete until we comply. So, listen, have you ever been in a conversation? Maybe it was your wife. Shouldn't be. Just saying, not this weekend. But listen, we've all been there, right? Men, your wife's speaking, yeah, I got it. But not really. And then 2 hours later, your wife will come to you, so did you do what I asked you to do? What'd you ask me to do? I only told you 10 times. Oh, you mean, okay, now you realize that you weren't really paying attention. You heard the words, but you didn't hear them, right? And until you are compliant, your wife isn't happy. Do you hear me? So the hearing is not complete until you comply. And your wife isn't happy until you comply. Yes, friends, I can close you there. Thank you very much for the counseling, the marriage counseling. You will live a successful, happily married life if you do that one thing. Comply. She wants to know that she was heard. And the proof that she was heard is that you did what she asked you to do. Not that you just said, oh, yeah, that you did it. And the same is true with God. Until we comply, That completes the communicative circle. He spoke, we heard, and we complied. Right? Number five, to hear implies transformation. Since the hearing of the word produces change in us, you see, the goal of hearing is the formation of Messiah in us. That's what this is about, that God would take a people to be his own people, and he would do something so radical, not religious, radical, that God would take all who he is and form himself in us. That we would be called messianics, little messiahs, that we would act like Messiah, speak like Messiah, think like Messiah, that God would form himself in us, that we wouldn't be like the rest of the world, mean and nasty and arrogant, right? That we would be different, we would be humble, and we would be loving, and we would be gentle. Because Messiah, the God of the universe, is formed in his people. Transformation. That's part of hearing. That my life, if I said, raise your hand, if God has transformed your life, I know you, all our hands would go up. God has transformed us, changed us. Not something we did on our own, but something he did in us. The things we used to like to do, we'd like to do no longer. Because there was a transformation of the inner man. It's God forming Messiah in us. Just like we heard in the Torah portion, right? To be holy like our God is holy. To be holy like God is holy. And number six, hearing demands humility. Humility. Because unlike the process of reading Scripture, hearing entails submission to the authority of the Word of God. That we will actually submit to God and his ways. First Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is." See, let me ask you a question. Are you taking this as a word from me? Right? And I'm reading the scripture. Or are you taking it for what it really is? The word of God. Isaiah 66, 5 through 11 is the word of God. And he tells us to hear. Hear what he's saying. It is the word of God which also performs its work in you who believe. And I'm going to say this right up front. Because if you read this whole passage, God is not happy with the skeptics. Those who don't believe what he's saying. And he doesn't have great, there's not a great outcome for them. So I'm going to say this up front, don't be a skeptic. That's the whole idea, by the way, that he's God. He could do things that are beyond imagination. And we don't need to excuse things away. I was watching a show when I was out of state, and it was a Bible show, and they were trying to figure out a man-made way or a natural way how God split the Sea of Reeds. Well, it was a strong wind and it was really shallow water and that's not what the Bible says. Say it was shallow water. It says they walked through on dry land and the waters collapsed and drowned an entire army. Not in an inch of water. But we try to excuse or help God out because we don't believe it. Friend, God desires to be believed. So don't be a skeptic. That's don't be. When it says it, believe it. Because I'll tell you what, we pray this, but it's true. Whatever we read in that word, God's more than that. Whatever we read, you say, wow, that's fantastical. Unbelievable. He's more unbelievable than that. Oh my goodness, he could do that and more. That's what you need to know about God. Whatever you read about, you say, oh my goodness, could he cause a person's shadow to heal people and more? God is greater, stronger, higher, right? Our God is greater than all that. So don't be a skeptic. Here in Yeshayahu, Isaiah, he's revealing the word of the Lord, telling us that God will repay the enemies of his people. So that's why we don't have to worry, okay? They're attacking Israel, over 600 rockets into, right? It's disturbing to hear, but God doesn't sweat it because he knows how it ends. Whether that be spiritual or otherwise, they will be put to shame. That's what he says. All boasting and arrogance will be silenced as God will cause his purposes and his people to ultimately triumph. That you can bet on. God is trying to encourage you and I today to grab hold of what he's saying. He wants us to have ears to hear that he's moving, he's working, he's orchestrating our lives. Well, Rabbi, I don't see it. That's okay. He's moving, he's working, and he's orchestrating in our lives. What's taking him so long? Don't worry about that. He's moving, he's working, and he's orchestrating in our lives. You are only required to do one thing, believe it. And don't be one of those skeptics that don't believe it until you see it. No, we're people of faith. We believe it, then we see it. Amen. We often struggle to understand that God is speaking to us. You talking to me? You speaking to me? Wow. Somehow thinking that the word we're hearing is old. Oh, that word in Isaiah, that's old. That's for a bygone day. That's not for me today. Wrong. No. In fact, although a prophetic word might have spoken to past situations and can point to future events, yeah, that's true, it simultaneously is a present word, since God speaks from the perspective of eternity. God, we're bound in time. God is not. When he speaks a word, that's why it says, my word is forever settled in the heavens, in eternity. He speaks from the perspective of eternity. And that word that we just read is as fresh today as it was when it was written. It's valid today. It's powerful today. So that's why we need to hear the word of the Lord. Matter of fact, in 1948, you better believe they thought that word was powerful. Can a nation be born in a day? No one was expecting it. Then out of the blue, bam. Modern Israel. Oh my gosh. What? Are you facing something that you think, I don't know. I don't know how it can ever be. It's too big. It's too complex. Everyone's telling me it can't be done. God could do it. You believe it? God could do it. And he's waiting for us to hear that word, that yes, I could do it. But Rabbi, I'm far from perfect, thank God, right? Thank God you're far from perfect, right? Or else he would be you, right? He's perfect. And that's why we need him. And he works on behalf of imperfect people. Because he's awesome. That's why we can look at Israel and say, well, Israel is imperfect. So, God's people aren't perfect, right? The kingdom of God is imperfect. Why? Because you and I are in it. But God is perfect. And that's all we need to know. Are you talking to me? Yeah, God's talking to you. And God wants you to anticipate, number two, a supernatural event. I tell you what, if we only expect natural things from God, you're serving the wrong God. He is not a natural God. Do you see him? Shake hands with him? Eat lunch with him? I mean, is he natural? He's supernatural in every way. So if he's supernatural in every way, do you anticipate supernatural events to take place in your life? Did Israel expect a supernatural event? Could a nation be born in a day? Can it happen? With a supernatural God, it could happen. And it did happen. And if it happened then, that's why it says in the Word that God is no respecter of persons. If it could happen then, in 1948, to our Jewish people then, it could happen today. And if he could give them a land to live in, he could save them today. Someone wrote this, painless birth, as in Bereshit chapter 3 and 16. And a painless birth is a symbol of Eden restored. And the curse removed. The picture is of motherhood without labor. The child is really hers, but at no cost. Remember, labor and the pain of labor was the curse. And here God is promising a supernatural birthing of a nation. No such thing has entered human experience, either by hearsay nor experience. It is without human analogy. It is an act of God that this could happen. That God could cause a nation to spring forth in a day is an act of God and God alone, and that is something our Orthodox brothers should hear. One writer says, it looks forward to the twofold act of producing a nation and a country. This would be, did you hear that? He says, did you hear that? What God promised? An entire country formed in a single day. Verse 8 says, whoever heard of such a thing? Have you? You only heard it because you're a believer. Who has ever seen such things as a country born in one day, as a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Sion went into labor, she brought forth her children. Well, what about these? Not a child only, but a land and a nation. And how long did it take to happen? How long did it take to happen? One vote, yes. In an instant. As soon as the deciding vote came in, yes. In an instant. And you know what? And maybe, why is this important to you as a believer? Because if God doesn't keep his covenant promises to Israel, that means he doesn't keep his covenant promises to anybody. In an instant. You facing something that you need God's instantaneous help with? instantaneous. Don't give up on God, because God can do it in an instant. Funny, it's never in the instant we want. There's always sorrows and things that we'd rather pass on, but when God acts, it takes but an instant. Hear that. When the Lord brings glory to his people, it will be as sudden as the judgment on his enemies and just as complete in an instant. God wants us to hear this. He wants us to hear that we have a God that can do things that have never been done nor conceived. Because you know what? I'm a believer in this. Often we look to the scripture only. Well, let me see if God's ever done that before. But do you realize that when he did those things in scripture, it was never done before? When God decided to cause the sun to stand still in the sky, it was never done before. Until God decided I wanted to do it. And it happened. When God healed people and he said, hey, that you got poison in that water, take a stick and throw it in. It becomes sweet. Never done before until now. Hey, how am I going to get you from Egypt to the promised land? There's a big body of water. How am I going to do it? I'll split it. Never done before. And maybe you say, well, Rabbi, I have stuff in my life that needs God's help that's never been done before. Doesn't matter. God can do it. Do you believe it? I hope you do, because he wants you to. He does the impossible, and he does it in an instant. When he decides it is time, he moves swiftly and decisively. That's why when people think people think they're going to do it on their own, bypass God, it's a slippery slope. They're going to move out because God isn't moving fast enough. Slippery slope. Wait for God. Believe God and let God do it. When God moves, everything can change. Doesn't matter who we are either. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 33, the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, remember him? Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. Wait, this is the most powerful man on the planet. Wait, I must be reading something else. Yeah, the most powerful man on the planet at the time. God decides, oh, remember what I told you, Nebuchadnezzar, that if you do me wrong and do my people wrong, you're going to be eating grass like cattle. It came to be, and in an instant, there he is. Fingernails grew long. The great Nebuchadnezzar was reduced. Why? Because he decided he was going to disobey the word of the Lord. And it says, his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. In Isaiah chapter 48, it says, I declared the former things long ago, and they went forth from my mouth, and I proclaimed them. Suddenly I acted. And they came to pass. That's how God decides to do it. He doesn't announce it. That's why he says, no one knows the day or the hour, my friend, when Mashiach is coming. Don't be get caught up. You know, I know you have your favorite speaker with his chart, you know, and he has it right down to the day. Oh, let me tell you, it's going to be 7 years and 3.5 years, and he's coming right here. This is where we're going to hear the shofar sound. Don't believe him. It says, nobody knows, not even the Son. No one knows. Suddenly, God acts. Imagine the day that Yeshua showed up to the temple, anointed by the Spirit of God. The questions here in Isaiah are pointed at the mockery of the skeptics. Could this happen? Could a nation be born in a day? What are you going to go to that place? God's going to heal you? You know, the skeptics. It's as if to say, do they mock the expectation of the coming glory of the Lord and find it unbelievable? Have they not yet faced the central miracle of the whole enterprise, the instantaneous springing into being of a whole new society by supernatural birth in the land of Israel? Every time you hear the name Israel mentioned, it is supernatural. It's God saying, I'm a supernatural God. That birth is by the unique, humanly unheard of processes, a work of God. And that's why God still heals today. God still delivers today. How does it happen? I just heard a testimony of a young boy who was given less than a day to live. And as you can imagine, family is crushed, broken, devastated. But they had the sense to call a man of God. And the man of God couldn't be there, but had something swiftly sent to them, a cloth that he prayed over. And I can see, even saying that, some of you are like, oh my gosh, really? Sent a cloth. They received the cloth at the hospital and laid it upon the young boy. Instantaneously, the boy sat up. Within 6 hours, the boy's blood work, which was tanked, was at 80% of normal. By the next morning, the doctor said, we have to release him, send him home. The day after that, he was in school. How does that happen? It happens because God is real. Because God is not natural. He's supernatural. God could do whatever he wants, and he loves especially to act on behalf of people who believe. I'm going to say it again. Whatever you believe in for, don't be a skeptic. Don't say, oh, God doesn't do that. God, don't use the C word. God can. You know the one. Don't say God can't, because he can. Does God bring to the brink of a promise and then abort? No. To God's people, he tells us, here's the last thing, and then we're going to be able to go upstairs and eat some lunch. Think of that. To God's people, this is what he tells us to do. Hear me. Because this message is an unpopular message in our day, what I'm about to tell you. He tells us to rejoice with Israel. Uh-oh. The rabbi went there. Yep, I did. He tells us to rejoice with Israel. Rejoice with Yerushalayim. Every believer should rejoice and celebrate in this. Why? Because it speaks to God's faithfulness to his people. That includes you and I. It's not the only reason. How can people say that they love the God of the Bible and not love Jewish people? Tell me that. How could you possibly say you love the God of Israel and the Messiah of Israel and dislike the very people he wept over and still weeps over? And so God says, rejoice with Jerusalem. You might say, but Rabbi, Jewish people aren't always worthy. Well, you're not always worthy. I'm not always worthy. But aren't you glad God doesn't measure us by our worthiness or by his promise? The God of redemption makes us worthy. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Let all that was, one commentator said this, let all that wish her well congratulate her for the favors God has conferred upon her. And particularly, let the Gentiles rejoice with the Jewish people, for her advancement shall redound to their benefit. Thus, Moses is referring probably to the very events predicted here in Isaiah. Rejoice, O you nations. And the Hebrew there is rejoice, goyim, Gentiles. Not a separate from his people, rejoice with his people, Israel. For he will avenge the blood of his servants, and he will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful to his land and to his people. Be glad with her, all ye that love her. Another commentator said this, another imperative calls the faithful community, all who love and lament over Jerusalem, to rejoice for the miraculously rejuvenated city. Friend, some of you rejoice. No, some of you, I need to put something under your nose to see if you're breathing. It says rejoice. I don't know how you rejoice, you know, but, you know, half falling asleep isn't rejoicing. It says it commands us to rejoice with Jerusalem. So we're celebrating today Yom HaAtzmaut. Are you rejoicing that God is a faithful God, that God hasn't forgotten his people, that God won't forget you? Because if he forgets, let me tell you this, if he forgets Israel, then maybe one day when you're ready to go in the pearly gates, he has a lapse of memory. And he says, who are you? I don't remember you. You want that? I don't. God's a God that remembers everything, every promise, every covenant. And he tells us to rejoice with his people Israel. Her offspring will enjoy plentiful provision. And thus says Hashem. The oracle further explicates the metaphor of Hashem as a mother. Zion will enjoy peace like a gentle river, and her righteous descendants will savor tender loving care. Hashem pledges to comfort this devout, afflicted community as a mother comforts her child. Let me tell you, it is not politically correct, nor is it ecclesiologically correct. We as the people of God, as a messianic Jewish community, must rejoice and love Israel. Let me say this, if you're Gentile and you're in this room, let me tell you what the Jewish people did for you. It would be as if you were standing online for a show. But you decided you want to enjoy for your family. And you realize that, wow, I don't really have time, so I'm going to let my friend stand in line for me and get the tickets. And your friend stands in line all day long in the pouring rain. Friend's getting soaked, getting drenched. Nothing to drink, nothing to eat, but he finally gets the tickets. All right. And he gets into the show. And you get to the door and your tickets are waiting. You go to a nice warm auditorium, you take a seat, put your umbrella down, get comfy and it's nice and toasty. And you notice that your friend that got you the tickets is nowhere to be found. Where is he? Ah, whatever. Whatever. I'm going to sit down and enjoy the show. The friend that held your place is the Jewish nation. They were persecuted for thousands of years, almost annihilated many times, so that Gentiles could be included into the kingdom of heaven. They waited online, they bore the brunt of the day. They were faithful to survive so that Mashiach could come and save everybody. And now, as Gentiles are enjoying their place in this grand auditorium, what should they do? Should they say, well, the heck with them? Or should you say, you know, they did that for me. Maybe I should do something for them. Maybe I should get up out of my comfortable seat and go find them. Go help them find their way into this comfortable auditorium so that they too can have a place and a seat at the show. God says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with my people. Not instead of my people, but with my people. And remember how he started this passage. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear this. I can't help but, we're going to close by singing the Hatikvah, which is the National Anthem of Israel. Because Yom Ha'atzma'ut comes on the heels of Holocaust Remembrance Day. 6 million Jewish people, friends, burned alive, starved to death. I can't help but to get emotional when I think about Poland. Could you imagine a country? There were 3 million Jewish people in Poland before the war. Now, how many Jewish people after the war? 300,000. That's 90% of the Jewish community murdered, burnt into ovens, emaciated and starved, shot, and thrown into mass graves. I know what God's saying. If you think for a second God forgot, or if God has somehow replaced Israel with a Gentile believing community, you're dead wrong. God felt every tear, every pain, and God commands us. He says, rejoice with my people. If you're Jewish, obviously you should rejoice. If you're not Jewish, you should rejoice. That God, and we should have a heart to see those who have not yet been redeemed get a place at the show. So why do we celebrate a national homeland for the Jewish people? Well, let me tell you, if we did not have a national homeland, the Jewish people would likely be annihilated today. But they have a place that they can go and be safe while God's preparing their hearts to hear about Messiah. And I can tell you this for sure. There are more Jewish people open to the Messiah now than ever before in the land of Israel. So God tells us to do three things. He tells us, Shema, hear. I hope you heard me today. God tells us to anticipate a supernatural event. You might need a supernatural intervention in your life. I'll tell you what, that the Jewish people still need a supernatural event upon them to see the Messiah. And he tells us to rejoice. And so we're going to rejoice the rest of the day. We're going to rejoice in the faithfulness of God. We're going to rejoice even if our situation isn't totally resolved. We're going to rejoice understanding that God is faithful. And that God can do it. And that God still heals. God still sets free. God still delivers. He still provides. He still splits the sea in two. Yeah, he does all that and more. He still makes a nation to come forth in a day if he so desires. I want to ask the worship team to come forward. I want to ask you to stand.
Kolod balevav ten ima nefesh yehudi homiya asfer mizrach katima ayin etzion so
His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.